Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to discuss the readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time for 2020, which is a marvelous time of the year to be a part of. But before we can get into that, let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most merciful Jesus, you began your office of Savior by shedding your blood and assuming for us that name which is above every other name in your circumcision. I thank you for such early proofs of your infinite love. I venerate your sacred name in union with the deep respect of that angel who first announced it to the earth. I also unite my affections to the sentiments of tender devotion that your adorable name has in every age enkindled in the heart of all of your servants. O Lord Jesus, you have said, as recorded in John 16:23, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Therefore, I earnestly ask the Father in your name for an increase in faith, hope, and love, and the grace to lead a good life and die a happy death. Lord Jesus, your name means Savior. Therefore, be my Savior. Through your adorable name, which is the joy of heaven and the terror of hell, the consolation of the afflicted and the solid ground of my unlimited confidence, grant me every petition that I make to you today in this prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, we take our focus today and we look at these readings for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time for 2020. And the first reading in today's Mass comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I shall show my glory." Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord. And my God is now my strength. It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn to our God. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Sacrifice or offering you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocaust or sin offering you sought not. And then I said, "Behold, I come." Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O God. It is my delight, and your law is written within my heart. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips as you, O Lord, know. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. The second reading in today's Mass is a reading from the beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sothentius, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their God and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. To those who accepted him, he gave power to become children of God. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. John testified further, saying, I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. So here are our readings for today's Mass. Mass that celebrates the first Sunday of the ordinary season. Something to really behold when we really think about it, that we are now into the ordinary season of the church. And we get into this new understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if we really look at this particular Sunday's readings, it reminds us of what we read last week in the baptism of the Lord. And we begin to see the very beginnings of Jesus' ministry among us. It's something that reminds us of our calling and Jesus' calling. In fact, just looking at the first reading, the reading of Isaiah's from Isaiah, it talks about how the Lord spoke and formed a servant in the womb. Now, we could say in a very general sense this relates to all Israel, and even to another general sense to everyone who's ever been born as a Christian. But the most specific person that this can relate to is Jesus Christ. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews took our response psalm and applied it specifically to Jesus, that behold, he comes, because it was written in a scroll prescribed for him to do his will. And this is the mission that Jesus has that he gives to each one of us. So many scripture scholars believe that it was Jesus who first experienced the hearing of God calling him to his mission as a specific voice in his baptism, and shows how he himself, in doing his baptism, as he said to John the Baptist, it's fitting for us to do all things that are right, that he begins to show openly his obedience to his Heavenly Father. It's something that in our gospel we hear of John the Baptist relating that his baptizing Jesus was a religious experience for him as well, because he himself experienced something miraculous. Because John says at first he did not recognize Jesus, even though he was the very reason that John was out there baptizing. He didn't know him because this was a cousin he probably dealt with when in his youth playing some kind of youth game. Like when we were kids, we used to play wiffle ball, or at least I did, or kickball and stuff like that with neighborhood kids. But would they recognize us and know us now that we're adults doing something more amazing? I mean, how many of our childhood classmates would recognize those of us who gone on to professions that are really important? I have a guy that I can think of from my grade school who's a fire chief now in the city that I grew up in. And we used to fight all the time. We didn't think each other were all that great. But that's the amazing thing about becoming adults. You get to a point to where you really find something new about people that you grew up with. And this is how John understands Jesus, because it wasn't until he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him that he recognized Jesus as God's chosen one. Many of us go through moments where we aren't known to others until they see us in a specific role, and then their view of us changes and becomes something greater. For Jesus, his baptism was his call to ministry. For John, it was a confirmation of his ministry. And it was a reminder that we're all called to do the will of God. In fact, as we experienced our baptism, most of us received it as a child, so we didn't have the preparation that adults who come into the church do, or those who convert into other Protestant denominations that require baptism after confession. And when they prepare for their baptism, or think back on it, as we who were baptized as children or infants, we need to understand what it is that we've received in that baptism for a calling. And this is what today's gospel is all about. Realizing that you are here to do the will of the Lord and to really understand your place in God's kingdom. The image of the servant as described by Isaiah is in the first reading can not only be applied to John the Baptist or Jesus, but can apply to each one of us as well, because we are formed to be a servant of God from our mother's womb. And God has given us a mission to be a light to the world. In fact, he calls us the light. If we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. No one hides a lamp under a bushel basket or anything. You're a city on a hill. You should let your good work so shine before men that they see your deeds and talk about how glorious God is because he's working through you." In fact, that's our ultimate calling, is to be that individual. Because this is why the servant it can say that God is now my strength, as recorded in the reading that we have of Isaiah, that we're to be a light to the nations, as the final verse tells us, so that God's salvation may reach the ends of the earth. We are to go into all the world and make disciples. That was the Great Commission. It's a commission that's first given to the bishops of the church, who are the descendants of the apostles, and they are the ones to whom we look to in this day and age. In the second reading, Paul reflects on his call to be an apostle. For Paul, the word apostle does not only apply to the 12, but to anyone who was sent to preach the good news. All Christians are called to an apostolic life. Furthermore, all the baptized who have been consecrated in Christ Jesus are called to be a holy people. Because how else are we supposed to testify of the greatness of God's love to the world except being that light to the world? It's not the preaching of the gospel that brings about new converts. It's the life you live that brings about new converts to the church. Think about it from another perspective. Why do people leave the church? It's because the people in the church do not live as if they are the church. And that's a sad commentary, if we think about it. It's a very sad commentary because it reflects on how we ourselves have failed him. And we shouldn't have. We should love him as he ought to be loved. God is our God for a reason. Maybe we don't live as servants like we ought to. And we need to reflect upon this word servant and really understand how the words of John the Baptist in the gospel express the meaning of being a servant. Because we need to understand how Jesus was a servant in order to understand how we ourselves become a servant. Jesus was proclaimed as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His life was a sacrifice. His life was about not being about himself, but being about others. That was the reason he came. Love is so amazing that it is not selfish. It is about the good of the other. And this is what we need to understand. Do you know what gifts you have and what the needs are around you that only you yourself can fulfill? This is how we tell the Lord that we are here to do his will. When we find our true vocation, our true mission in life. There are many voices out there in the world that says, do what makes you happy. But that's not a good philosophy. It's not a Christian philosophy. It's a hedonistic philosophy. And it's really not anything about who we are. It's not about us being whatever we want to be. This is what's wrong with our society when it tells people, oh, you can be who you want to be. If you're a boy and you want to be a pretty little princess, You can transgender yourself into another gender and be that pretty little princess. But that's not how God sees us. God sees us here on this earth for a specific task, a specific plan that he has in our lives. Do we want our will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, or do we want his? Do we want to live out who he has called us to be? Many of us struggle with this because we don't know who we are. I can think of different friends that I've known over the years who really didn't know who they were. And because of that, they just went off to try to be something else. They wanted to become something, but they did not know who they were to become something important. And I think that's the biggest problem most people have, is they're in search of fame and fortune instead of just being who they were meant to be. If we look at the analogy of Paul's description of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, we find that there are many parts of the body. There are eyes, there are ears, there are mouths, there are feet, there are hands. And he says in one part that the whole body cannot be an eye. You can't be all seeing, because if you were just an eye, how would you hear? Where would the ear be? Where would the vocal cords be in the body? Where would the digestive system fit into an eye? It doesn't. Too often we're trying to be what other people are. We're trying to be something that somebody else is called to be, instead of be who we are. And that's the problem a lot of people face, is they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. This is the biggest problem as we go forward. And I would say that we need to pray. We need to understand who we are, what our vocation is, what our purpose is. Because it's only then that we truly can fulfill our mission in the world as we ought. And this is what the gift of the Holy Spirit is all about in confirmation, confirming us for our duty to make sure that we do what we're called to be. To become fire chiefs like my old nemesis from grade school was. And to fulfill our calling so that we become greater and are seen greater than we are today, because we are who we're meant to be. Some of us may not be called to the priesthood, even though we pursue it with all of our might. I can remember a girl down in one of the parishes that I was sent during my pastoral year wanting to become the first female priest or bishop. And I said, that's not her place. Because no woman can be a bishop. No woman can be a priest. That's pretty much stated in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And she was like, well, I'm going to change that. I'm like, no, you're not. Because that's not who you're called to be. It's not you choosing what you want to be. It's you submitting yourself to do the will of God, the Father, in your life. To say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And finding your vocation, finding your place, and not saying that because I can't be a priest, I'm not part of the body of Christ, because that's not the entire body of Christ. We all have roles to fill. That's why there's masculine roles. It's why there are feminine roles in society. Can they be changed? Can a man stay at home and be a home dad? Yeah. We've seen many of that throughout the years through Mr. Mom or that Robin Williams movie years ago. I think it was Mr. Mom. I can't think of it right now, but it's either that or the Michael Keaton movie. I can't remember. I get those confused, so my apologies. But we've seen the gender swap before in movies where men have taken feminine roles, in a sense, in society. Unfortunately, they were done in a very unchristian kind of way. But it does show that these so-called societal norms can be changed. But the thing that cannot be changed is who you are and who you're meant to be. And that's something that we need to take time and really reflect on, how to be a servant to the world, to truly live up to the call that God has made on each one of our lives, a call that allows us to say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." Because if we will bend our knee and give our time, talent, and treasure to truly living out God's gospel in the world, then we truly will be sons of our Father. And we will hear that we are truly servants who should enter into his rest and be eternally blessed.